with Lester Markell, Anthony Lewis, Henry Tanner, and C.L. Sulzberger.
Today we attempt to explore Europe, to examine its
Been over to see Birmingham.
Oh,
pretty.
They are pretty. If he can get anything for them, man. Don't know what they do. Whether the price isn't good enough.
I haven't kept up.
I haven't either. I know they've been picking them out there for about a week now.
He's not quite ready?
No, sir. I mean, it'll be another week. So he's be ready.
I didn't get out in the patch and look at him. I can't
tell. He might have a right one here and there now, but I don't think. You know, they planted those kind of late. Well, we just come in from town and went and got that joint. So they put that on. You know, I tried to get a seal, and you know, I can't find a grease seal in Gainesville for the thing. Of course, I can make out with the old one. It might leak a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to make out.
Oh, I would
have to. But I guarantee you that joint was a gun.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we was in the woods with it yesterday and it fell off.
Oh. Miss Gunner, she's been getting along pretty well. Stays busy doing little old odds and ends, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do too, I swear.
Both are lost and this one's gone. I think the bearing in that one might be all right. See, that one there, just both of them just gone.
Uh-huh.
See what they've been eating on that one?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I got one to go on.
Yeah.
I reckon it'll fit. I hope it will. Half of the time you get something, you have to carry it back.
Yeah.
Three or four times.
Yeah, that's the trouble.
Swap it in.
You just take the truck up there and put it on while it's there.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, you stay there so long.
The trouble.
They charge you so much. An hour for...
Yeah, no,
and
this one here, there would have been a towing fee on this one because it had went its last mile.
Oh, you couldn't take it in. Yeah.
No, we went out to get a load of cattle just afternoon and come up a cloud and we missed it. And the boy started, my grandson, he started to take the truck back down to the cabin and where Marvin was.
I was riding the horse.
The good thing it tore up when it did. We
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You take an old one like this, and there was always something fixing to go bad on. See, this is 53.
That don't matter. Let me tell you. Don't talk to me about any of them. Them new ones seem they go out just easy.
Well, they do.
It's not ours, too.
No, it's actually not ours. As a matter of fact, the truck belongs to us, but he still holds the title. He give us a truck, but he still has
and
the title. It's in his name. He keeps up the insurance. We buy the tags and use the truck. And he's been using it for years.
His wife don't want it parked at her house because it's so ugly.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a few cattle, and he might use it to haul some calves once a year. Well, I don't believe it. Well, yes, I did, too. I hauled one for him last year. And that's about how much he uses.
Yeah.
Mr. Dobbs still working at the university.
Half of the
morning, is that where he was?
He's working, you know. He's got him a job at that university.
How long has that been?
It must be 3 or 4 weeks. About three weeks now. He's a maintenance guy. They're going good wages to sit down and watch somebody else. So I've been thinking about going out there and see if I couldn't be his helper.
I don't believe he'll last long up there. I don't believe he's the type. He'll get tired sitting down.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing to do, I don't think. He told me that last time I talked with him to have a conversation about the work out there. That day he said he hadn't turned his hands to anything. Uh-huh. Just wasn't there a thing in the world to do. He's got to wait till something breaks down, and if they take care of it, it won't break down.
Oh, that's on the farm equipment?
Well, I think it's just a maintenance. No, And I say no, and I don't. I think that's just the maintenance on the whole campus.
Uh-huh.
Around. Well, it's welding, and if a table leg comes off or a locker doesn't work right, then he's there to take care of it.
Well, a nice little dog.
Is that it there?
That little black one coming in. He's been here a good little bit now.
Yes.
Just a nice little thing and watchful.
Yes. Well, that's what you want.
Well, we got too many now watching around. No trouble, they watch me too much.
Yes. See if you got anything in your hand.
It would be an ideal little dog for a kid.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, that's what you want. A dog will stay around and bark and not bother to see.
We just cured Mr. Gus's little old dog in and had it not
yeah.
But if it stayed here, I'd have to have it spayed, and I just feel like I just haven't got the money to spend it.
Oh, no, it's so much trouble. It's so costly.
Yeah, it's a lot of
I've
trouble.
Had
it's costly.
Well, I know. I thought about you.
Yes, sir. For the last, well, ever since January, I guess it was, the expense started, and it's been going ever since.
Mm-hmm. Do you know Mr. the old gentleman that lives down the road here?
Boyd?
Yes.
Yes,
sir, I know.
You know him?
Yes, sir.
He was sitting over that nickname one day. I was talking to him. I think Boyd's his name.
Mm-hmm. Short fella.
Little fella.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And he said that he had been over here a time or two and talked to Mr. Gustin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he likes to run him crazy.
Yeah, he's a man that's...
Boyd, you know, I hate to say anything about anybody like that. He just ain't happy. You know, his poor old wife lay over there sick. And he just tortured her to death. And he always has been like that.
Didn't want nobody to go to see her while she's sick. And didn't want no doctor to her.
And he come.
No doctor.
That's right. She had cancer. And he wouldn't allow nobody to go see her. His daughter asked me one day, would I go over and see? I thought a lot of these boys, and she always seemed to think of me. She asked me, she said, would you come over and stay with Mama for me to go down to Dr. Strange's to... She had to go down there to Dr. Strange for Miss Boyd. I went, and that old son of a gun wouldn't even let me in the house. Then he made it over here, and he... And to get away from him, I went out on the back porch and was washing. He told Mr. Guthrie, he said, I'm going to go around there and talk to Miss Guthrie if you don't care. Mr. Guthrie was just glad to get rid of him. He said, I don't care. He went around there to tell me and Marvin her whole history, how dirty she was before he ever married her. He ain't
Well, that wasn't none of my business. I don't know. I
don't
didn't,
like him.
Didn't know his wife too much. I've known him ever since I you might say a kid. But his wife, she was always one of these kind. If she was busy, she was in the field working. Or if she was at the house, she was in the house working, and you never did get to talk to him.
I've seen that woman raise kids all day long, and that might have a baby.
Why, Miss Gunn?
That's the truth. If you don't believe
Look.
It, go and ask the people at McNuffin.
No.
Rake hay all day long with a hay rake, be on the hay rake, raking hay with an old mule in a hay rake, and that night she would have a baby.
Be on that old hay rake herself.
That is right.
Oh, I've seen her in
she
the...
She never had a doctor.
I've seen...
She had a midwife with every one of them.
I've seen her in the...
I know Ms. Boyd for years and years, and she was absolutely a good little woman.
I've seen her in the field picking beans, hoeing, raking hay, pitching hay on the wagon. I've seen her. Well, as a matter of fact, she done the man's work as long as she lived.
All her boys can tell you about
it.
Every one of his children left home.
Yeah,
they run away.
Well, I think he'd taken the pitchfork to some of them that day.
Yeah, while she was sick, he took the pitchfork and run her
girl. I think that in his older days that he must have got to listening to the preacher over the radio or reading the Bible. Now, he claims that he's blind and he can't see, but anyway, he can come up with some pretty good scriptures in the Bible. But whether he's getting better or just using that to hide behind, that's what we don't know. A lot of people, you know, use the Bible just to hide behind.
Yeah, he told you he'd come to see Mr. Dustin.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Yeah, he didn't have any opportunity there to go into detail, but I, you know, it just occurred to me he was an old resident here, you know, been here a long time, and
Mr.
Gustin.
Mr. Gustin knows when he went to Georgia and married his wife.
Oh. He come from Georgia himself.
But he come down here and stayed a while. Then went back and married his wife, so Mr. Gustin hadn't grown up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know them for years. You know, Mr. Gustin and I was married for 44 years. Like, just, well, he died the 18th of March, and we was married the 23rd.
Oh.
We would have been married 44 years.
I don't know. That's marvelous. She don't look like she'd been mad before, yeah.
I have, I've been right here 44 years.
And you settled right here?
Right here. Mr. Guthrie had been married before.
Come, Amanda.
He was here. Here's where I come.
Did Mr. Guthrie ever know Miss Anna Wood and her family over there?
He sure did.
Now, Miss Anna, I have heard her talk of your former neighbors, Andrew Jackson family.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't know them. And I can't remember, you know, just who it was in the family she knew. But she seemed to know them all and talk about them. But now they've been away from here.
Well,
they're
Andrew all day.
Andrew Jackson was Mr. Gus's first cousin. That was his daddy's property down there. Mr. Gustin and I both went up in Georgia and stayed with Andrew. He died with cancer. Mr. Guthrie kind of treated dirty about that place there. Mr. Guthrie has paid taxes ever since Andrew Jackson's daddy died. And they promised him, of course, the old place, it wasn't too valuable, but they promised Mr. Guthrie that if he would keep up the taxes on it, that when it was sold, he'd get it. So his widow come down here, and Mr. Guthrie and her talked about it. And she said, Cousin Will, she said, $500,000 wouldn't touch it. She said, but I'll promise you that if anybody ever gets it, you'll get it. And Mr. Guthrie told her, said, well, I appreciate that. Well, Marvin and I, we went to work, and we had it planted in the bag. And they slipped off and sold it.
Yeah, we didn't know it.
To the Hogan's.
It was going to be sold till it was done sold and over with.
Coming up.
Rejoining
so
the place
Sunday,
and everything,
Mr.
we'd love to have had
sick.
It.
He was in the bed. He had a stroke. And they came. And stopped by, and Mr. Guthrie just didn't make them welcome, or he didn't mistreat them, or he just didn't. But his people went on commenting about how Mr. Guthrie. I said, well, I don't blame him. I said, he's got his rights, and if anyone of them treated you like they treated him, well, you'd be the same way. He didn't mistreat them, but he just didn't take up any time with them because he knew that they had mistreated him.
What Hogan is that?
Zane Hogan.
Zane, that's Rochelle Hogan.
Now, his grandmother and Mr. Guthrie was first cousins.
Well, what connection did they have? Andrew Jackson's daughter that did that?
That sold it.
Yes.
That's right.
Well, now, what connection did she have with the Hogan?
Well, there was
about third cousin.
Third, fourth cousin, along there, something like that.
Well, were they sort of acquainted with him or close to him?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
And Jane's old grandmother was Mr. Guthrie's first cousin. And she always felt like that she ought to have the place.
Mm-hmm.
She ought to have the say-so over the place.
Yeah.
But I asked Zane one day, Zane was up here, and I said, well, tell me, how in the world did you pull the strings like you did to get the old place in the place? And my grandmother didn't want it out of the family. I said, well, it wouldn't have been out of the
family.
It's out
the family now.
Mm-hmm.
I said, it is out of the family now. But they got it, and it's all right.
We'll live without it, I hope.
But then I just, you know how people will
understand. Well, I mean, we neighbors. Zane's down there, and we here, and he stops by, and we stop once in a while. We go down there where he's
I don't blame
born,
Zane.
So.
I don't blame Zane, but I'm going to
we all got to live.
If I promise anybody anything, I'm going to
let each generation have its own way.
Right.
Yes, I don't know. That's a curious thing. You hear things like that so much, Ms. Guthrie. It's just hard to understand it.
I know.
When you come in, I just started to go there and see the bulldozer. Man, it started to work over there. So young.
How far past
well,
where is that?
He's just beyond Dodd's Watermelon Patch.
Uh-huh.
He should be in there.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And,
that's another thing that worries me. I don't know whether I'm going to survive or not.
Well, it costs a lot of money to run this
place. Yeah, yeah. And you all just out the expense of this place up here.
Yes.
Right next to you.
Well, there's several dollars tied up in that place out there right now.
Yeah.
And it's dry and can't get grass started out there. We got seed and fertilizer out there.
And
it
just rained the water standing.
Yeah, you know, a mile down the road here, it flooded.
Oh, it did.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Close.
That's right.
I was surprised just to see when that crowd came up. I saw.
Well, did y'all get any rain over there?
No.
Mr. Meyer, you know where I can get me a good cheap bull?
She's talking about anglers now.
Service.
Sure.
You know, they seem to run short of bulls, Ms. Guthrie,
I
these years.
I called a fellow Thomas over there at McNulty. I saw bulls in paper. He wanted $800.
Yeah, they...
I just can't pay that.
His bull would live that
week. I can't pay $800.
We're looking for something a little bit younger than that, too. You start off with a 4 or 5 year old bull. Well, the person needs, you know, you got an old bull, and the way we situated him,
you mean
an
8 year old bull?
We can use one on this side a couple of years, and then use one on this side for a couple of years, and then transfer him across. See, we can always keep him that way.
Oh, that could help. Uh-huh.
But if you're going by old bull, well, then time he's 10 years old, you need to let him go.
They're not black bulls, they are.
No, they're
perfect.
They're nice bulls.
Yeah, they're turning out pretty well, looks like. No?
We caught 9 steers here, isn't it?
Yeah.
We caught 9
some
wild bulls. Well, we caught more than that.
Rope.
And I told Marvin, I said, let's take them and alter them and put them in the pasture. And we'll save these now for our taxes another year. And you know, I believe I'm going to have to kill myself.
Everything's dried up, no rain, no grass.
Yeah,
and wheat seems to grow pretty good.
Yeah.
But
not
I
enough.
Just can't get it grass.
You know, they have managed to keep that all that pasture down.
It's as dry as it is. They'll do it as dry as it is.
They haven't had any trouble at all keeping that down.
I have to give up this side of the pasture this year. man down here, he's got me fenced off for us.
Yeah, we can't hardly get cattle home without them going about a mile and a half out of the way to get around.
Mm-hmm.
See, and it makes it kind of mean.
How is that?
See, we have cattle over here. Well, he's got his fence. Well, he owns the woods, part of the woods back in. There's a big bay back in there that cattle can't go in.
Yeah.
But there's a road on down here that to go around that bay. Well, he run his fence off in that bay.
Uh-huh.
Well, the cattle then will have to go way around that bay and then come way around here to come up and get to the house.
Uh-huh.
Or come down the road, and we can't afford to let them come down the highway.
No, how far is it by the highway?
Well, it's the pasture starts just beyond that old house up there,
yeah.
that pond.
Yeah.
So if we'll figure a quarter from here, if we could bring them through, we'd come bring them right to the house.
Uh-huh.
But if they can't come this quarter, so they got to go a mile and a half to get home. It makes a big difference.
You just had a little help. Your own cows, it wouldn't be in trouble to bring them.
Not too much, but you'd be surprised to how much traffic's on that road when a cow gets out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Seems like they all come then. You can get a lot of cow out on it or something. And boy, they get busy.
Yeah. and they don't slow down.
Not a bit. Get faster. Some of them do.
Yeah.
Act like they get scared of it.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. I don't understand that. With a horse in the trailer.
Well, at night, they just race.
Yeah, they use it for a racetrack at night. But I try to keep them off. Once in a while, you have one to crawl through the fence or a wire break or something, and they come out and you don't know about it.
You don't know about it. Yeah.
Well, during the time that Mr. Guthrie was so sick, somebody went over there, pulled up about an 8-post one at morning.
Yeah.
Cut the fence and just laid it back.
They had black posts out through those trees.
My black bull and cows was all on the road. Well, we was on our way to make the funeral arrangements. Found a bunch of cows. We stopped, put them in, closed the gate. Went to the funeral and come back. I walked in the house. The phone rang. My black bull I just bought was out on the road. Went down there and got him out and come back. Next morning, the sheriff was out here before I could even get up. I come out here, and he jumped on me about it, and he asked me, didn't I know it was against the law? I told him, yeah, I know it was against the law, but I thought it was against the law also for people to tear up people's fence. And I told him about Mr. Guthrie being sick, and he had just died, and so he said, well, when he come along down yon that pasture gate, we're standing wide open. Marvin went down there and somebody had even taken it off of the hinges and set it outside the fence.
What in the world would anybody do that for, man?
Deer hunters going in.
I think it was mostly hunters
doing
it, but I can't understand.
And I told him, I said, looks to me like you all would have a little bit of consideration for the cattle people and get on to them deer hunters about it. And he said he was going to call every day morning in the state of Florida. And he must have did, too, because they got on the ball. But it's pure deer hunters going to
By them tearing up things like that made me think there's a little fight work somewhere, but I couldn't figure where it could be. And so I just ruled that out completely because I don't think anybody would be a spy. I just don't think that we have that many enemies anyway. If we do, we don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I imagine anybody would know it if they had them.
I would think so.
Yeah, just deer hunters. Pure hunters going in there. Marvin and I was down at the cow pen down here on the lake. We was loading up some cows, and this old red dog of ours rode down there, but he had to ride back, and when he come back, he brought the front quarter of a deer.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody had shot its foot off, and
it went off and died,
and it was stinking like everything. I picked it up and put it in a drum and saved it and called a game warden. Showed it to him.
Well, you see why they fight over there. They start fighting in the Middle East. Cattle business, and it's been in it a good while, you know. He got to survive.
Well, that's
when
true.
Mr. Dodd went to build his home.
And you know they'll watch their chances, don't you?
True.
In the water pump. Now that's my feeling.
But he'll do it in every way. When Mr. Dodd went to build his home, and he told me who he was gonna get, I said, Mr. Dodd, don't do it. I said, it's none of my business who you get, but I said that man's gonna beat you, and he's gonna leave you in a mess. Well, I'm gonna get him because I can get him cheaper than anybody else. So I said, yeah, that's what you think.
Yeah.
And he still hasn't got his house near finished. And this man and his wife goes there, and Mr. Dodd told us that, well, they've been doing their laundry there, and Mr. Dodd's paying the bill. I know that fella. That's the reason why my house is.
Yeah. That's the way you did.
Second.
Laundry there, and Mr. Dodd's paying the bill. I know that fella. That's the reason why my house is.
Yeah. That's the way you dealing with a man that can make watermelons. Now he can natural grow watermelons. That wealthy.
Yeah.
But I says he's also a smart man. I says if you would just keep one step ahead, that would be all.
For president too.
Oh, and boys, they weren't tearing one another apart. So you get out of my hair and get outside.
Well, I tell you, a good rainy day is like this, rainy morning, cloudy morning.
They belong out here.
Yes. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear about your collie. You're a little collie dog.
Oh, and he was so good with those cows. You know, there for a while, he was so frisky and rambunctious that I couldn't work with him, but then he outgrew that after he got... Hey, get away from the melons! Get away from there, Danny. Go and swing on your glove. And, Thomas? It's too tempting to step on it. And,
all they need is a suggestion, and they go right over there.
Yeah, they love that swing set. But he began to work real well with the cows, and I'm sure he believed me. He told the children about it last night. I hadn't even mentioned it to them. Looking for Laddie.
Oh, they didn't know that yesterday when we were over there.
The older boy's fault. He'd taken the dog down there.
Yeah,
he gave him too much chain.
Yeah.
And he jumped down in the hayloft.
Yeah.
And, in the hayrack.
Yeah.
And when he told them about it, he said, it's my fault. He said, I did it. And then he got all upset about it. I told him, I said, don't mention it to him for a while, you know, and let him get used to not seeing Larry around for a while.
Uh-huh.
But he told him, and it just upset him something awful.
Yes. Almost just like a member of the family.
Yeah. Well, I went down there, and I went in to get some manure to put around my flowers, and I noticed he didn't bark for the first time when the kids went off to school Friday morning.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, what in the world's the matter with him? And I went about my business. I was doing some washing then. I wanted to get the clothes on the line before the rain came. I thought it was going to rain. And I got the clothes out, and it was about dinner time before I got down there. And I noticed I hadn't heard him bark all morning.
Well, you know now, the rainy season's here.
And here they are down there. Yeah.
It's bound to rain, you see, in the next few days. It's just bound to. I mean, at this point, I wouldn't be nervous about the rain.
He's gaining.
I'm not, but he...
Not now. Now, back in May, it's a different matter.
He went and see Mr. Wilson Sunday, and he asked me if he wouldn't come out here and irrigate. And I told him, I said, honey, with all these clouds around, I said, why don't we take another few days? He said, we can't. He said, it's too dry out there.
Uh-huh.
And we went out and looked at them, and sure enough, there were some small ones, you know, with ones that didn't get soft. So we just can't wait hardly any longer. Now, every day, the clouds have been just like this, and they go right on around us.
Yeah.
And even down the creek, they said they had a good rain one day there. We didn't have any.
Yeah.
We had about an eighth of an inch yesterday. So he's got to day, I guess, soon, and he's got to bring some pipe out, to reach across to this field here. Oh, we just thought if there was anybody on us on the earth, we had to hear him.
Yeah.
We found out differently. But now he seems to see that we're not going to back up, and he's sort of... giving us a little more rope, I think you might say.
Yeah.
He's not trying to get us too much to sell out now. He claims that he had to sell his in order to pay his help.
He has just...
But I don't think he really did sell out. I just have that feeling. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I guess because he tried to push it so hard there for a while. I got 5 children to feed. It isn't a laughing matter, but I don't know. If you can't have trust once in a while in people, you don't want to. You just feel like laying down and giving up.
No.
But I don't know. We're both that way. We both.
No, you can't trust anybody. I mean, you all.
I don't know. I think he's learned a lesson. I don't think he'll mess with watermelons anymore. But he had to get that out of his, that fever out of his system.
Yeah.
And he might as well have done it this year as to talk about it for the next 5 years. But I don't think anytime soon he'll mess with any more watermelons. I would have rather put this field in an improved pasture for this summer for the cows like we did here a couple of years ago and kept the cows instead of selling out so many of them. We would have been way farther ahead. And now he sees a mistake where he's not going to make the money on these melons that he thought he would.
Yeah.
He sees where if he'd have held on to the cows, he's not even going to get enough money out of the melons to pay for the cows that we had to sell back when they weren't selling very well.
Contact.
See, we lost quite a bit on the cows because we sold them at a bad time. And if we could have held on to them and they're calves now and sold them, we could have made far more than what he's going to make on the melons. But he didn't see it that way. He wanted to take a chance.
Well, you never know. And then
in 2 weeks' time, he might get a better price. Now, he's not going to just sell out to Mr. Horn the way Mr. Wilson wants him to. He's gone around finding some other buyers
that
want to give him more money than Mr. Horn does. Now, it's this time. But 2 weeks from now, you can't tell. The price of the market might go down, and it might go up first.
Wait.
Hey, Johnny, get off of there. Told me the other day that he came up here in this truck. I believe he said he had 40 acres of melons, and he sold $4,000 worth of melons off those 40 acres, and he's not through pasture picking.
Yeah.
So that means he'll make another $4,000 on 80 acres.
And?
So that means he'll make another $4,000 on 80 acres. That's $200 an acre, wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
So according to that, and they wanted $2,000 for 50 acres here.
Uh-huh. Half of 50.
That's what Mr. Wood said. He figured out about $200 an acre. And there's approximately 50 acres of melons. Now, we've got an acre out down in the back in there for that garden. And then there's a little spot down by that water hole that they didn't plant because it was too low at the time. They couldn't get the tractor in there to work it. But other than that, between that field and this field here, it's right at 50 acres, he figures. So, I don't know what they'll work out. But Mr. Huff over there at McIntosh gave Vermin quite a better price than this Mr. Horn would have. Offered. Well, Mr. Horn sold, Mr. Wilkerson said he sold his part for $2,000. And a businessman to me, after he pays his help and all, he's not going to come out next year.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's had 3 colored people there working for him most of the time.
Yeah.
He can't do much himself.
Well, did Mr. Huff come out here and look at him?
No, he hasn't been. Mr. Wood come out and he said that's the best field of melons he's seen in a long time. And he said that he thought that if Mr. Huss saw that he'd give Berman more than 2 cents a pound for it to make sure that he got it.
Uh-huh.
Now, that was his opinion. Now, Mr. Wood...
At Mr. Wood Oak store there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He seemed to think that we'd get a good price for him.
Step pro.
But, now, when Berman went over to see Mr. Huff, of course, Berman didn't know Mr. Huff. Mr. Huff didn't know Berman.
Yeah.
And he didn't seem to be interested in his salesmanship at all, his melons. And Berman said it kind of made him a little angry because the fella just sat there behind the desk reading the newspaper or something of that effect all the time that Berman was trying to talk to him. You know, if you don't have anyone's interest enough to try to talk to him, I just didn't turn around and walk. I can't talk to
him. You mean just sat there and read the paper while Berman was trying to...
Yeah, he wouldn't even try to talk to him, you know. I don't know whether he thought that he was just trying to... get the melons for a lower price, or just whether he just wasn't interested in buying them, or what it was. But Berman said that he just didn't act interested. But then after Mr. Woods got into the picture, it seems like Mr. Huff was interested. So,
uh-oh.
see you got into the picture. Seems like Mr. Huff is interested. So, see, he knows Mr. Wood, but he didn't know Burma. So getting to know him first, and if he had been interested enough to come out here to look at him, he might have found that Burma was telling the truth. He put it anyway. He said that he was more free with buying than Mr. Horn was. So I don't know. I don't know what he'll do. But the Mr. Horn wants to do it is, from the start, was sort of bad business to me. He wanted to take the melons, load them up in a semi, and go off to New York or someplace and sell them. Then we'd get our money after he sold them. We wouldn't have any certificate or any
whatever.
Receipt or anything.
You're better to help us.
No. So Berman said no. Told Mr. Wilkinson the other day, he said, if he wants those melons, he said he'll have to buy them.
Right out of the field.
Yeah.
Go ahead here. Tell him.
Excuse me.
What's that?
Bye-bye.
I can't hear you.
I gave him a slack on his chain.
Yeah.
And he jumped down to hayloft. And choked him to death.
Oh, me. Well, that'd be mighty easy to do, it looks like.
It was an accident, wasn't it? Something couldn't be helped.
It's just hard to think of everything.
Just learn not to give him too much chain next time, won't you?
Think it over. That's a, I bet you it tastes as good as any of them.
We've got one out there. It's got a little...
Just like that.
It started out to be a pretty good melon. Then it something happened to it. Something got wrapped around it or something. And then another hump and another hump. It's three different humps. It's a lot of looking thing. We're just going to leave it there and see what happens.
You know,
I hate to pass an opinion about somebody I'd never seen before. But when he came up here in the yard... He just looked to me like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
And Berman was kind of leery of him at first, but since we knew Mr. Wilkinson, not well, but we knew him, and everyone that we had talked to at the time said that he was a pretty good farmer, and if anybody knew melons, he did. So he was highly recommended to us, and we went ahead with the business, but we never did like the business of Mr. Horn selling to him. Well, that's really messed up, I think. It was already busted, too.
You gotta sit on it.
You two, you're just as heavy as she is, I think.
Now, you take, Don.
Station among the small farmers rather than go into it in a big way like these big.
Well,
I know we do. If he didn't have the real estate to fall back on once in a while, and this job now that he's got is helping out some, we just couldn't make a go out of it sometimes. Then other times we got more money and we know where to put right at the minute. But then putting everything out here and fencing and everything else, it takes money. And he just couldn't make a living here, you know, just farming by itself. He'd have to get out and do something else.
Well,
that's what I say about the first year or two we were here. We paid the down payment on this place and then had to keep up the payment in order to hold on to it. It wasn't here until about, it's been close to 2 years ago now that we paid the place off. And it seemed like then... there for a while, if it hadn't been for real estate, we would have lost the place, because you sure couldn't make any place. You had to keep putting money into this place before anything could come out of it. And at that time, the cows weren't too promising. So he just wouldn't, if it hadn't been for the real estate, we would have lost it. But now that everything's paid for and it's come along slow but surely, yet it still doesn't bring in enough money to swing for itself. Now the cows, we made a lot on the cows this past year, but we've got to replace a lot of them that we sold in order to make up for the mistake he's made here now. See, he goes ahead a little bit, but then he falls back quite a bit, so we stay about the same.
Yeah. Oh, when I think about some of those beautiful cows I let go that spring with calves, I just No, I just, some of them weren't any good. I needed to just sell them off.
But no, no, don't bother.
Oh, they were good cows. Good cows.
He's going to get the house teared up.
Okay. If we could sell the cows at a decent price, I wouldn't mind selling. But some of these that we had registered ones, now those, remember the calves, the small calves we bought from you, now he sold a few of them. And for market price. Took them to market and sold them for market price. And they didn't bring anything. He took a beating on them. And really, he should have held on to them if he wanted to make anything out of them, but he got them up to breeding size and then hauled them off to market. And that's what I said. That was just before he put these melons in here. But we didn't have enough raising to keep them going. We wouldn't have enough now to keep them going because it hadn't rained very much.
Yeah.
And the pasture's down. And they only have those two fields to go in.
Yeah. Well.
They were rolling fat last winter, all winter long, because that's when they hardly ever even wanted hay. And this time, if they could get down in there, I feel like going down there, open the gate, and let them go.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long.
Well, it'd be another month yet before
not,
we get
not more than that.
No, that's a long time to me because I'm so anxious to get them in there.
Oh, they'll be rolling over. You'll need some more animals by then.
Well, I hope we can afford to get some more by then. I'm looking forward to it.
I tell you, it's not an easy job. It's just hard to know just what to do.
Yes, I agree with you. Cause when he gets a notion, he's going to have to try it or bust, just like these watermelons. He was talking about putting a field of corn in there after he takes the melons out.
That runs grass.
He does. I'm going to leave home because I want those cows to get in there. No, he really did. He wanted to put the corn back, you know, replant back in there after the melons come off because there's so much fertilizer out there. He said,
well,
that'll knock his... That'll knock his grass clear out.
Sure will. Well, then in this field here, I don't know, he may be right to do this field because the grass that was in there anyhow wasn't any good.
Yeah.
He had to, we were going to replant that in Pangola this year before he thought about putting melons in there.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to have to be worked anyhow this fall.
So
he might be wise to put this field in corn. But that one down there, the cows have got to have some.
Well, you see, your Pangola planting season starts about now. It's not come out yet. So, first July is about as early as you could get that in.
Tom, don't walk over there at the swing. You stay away.
I'd love to have a little Pangola. I think that'd be an awful good thing to do.
You mean after the melons, plant the Pangola in there?
It'd just be perfect, be perfect.
And with all that fertilizer, it would sure take a fast jump in there.
Yeah, I don't think there's enough fertilizer left to help the corn.
No, he'd have to refertilize some more.
Oh, yeah. But it sure would help your Pangola. Suppose you put that in, takes root and starts growing.
He hasn't time to mess with that. What in the world? He's only got the weekends, and then I'd like him, you know, to spend with the children.
Might have been...
Do what he has to do, of course. Can't, they're on their summer vacation now, and they're wanting to go swimming, and they're wanting to go here and go there. And this is the first summer now that he won't be with them. He'll be working and won't be able to spend the days with them. But I would like him to spend a little time with them on the weekend, especially that older one. He's got to take him off and get him away from me for a while. He's getting to be such a mama's boy here lately.
Well, now, he's big enough to go out
there. He takes his home and goes off fishing down there and rides a horse once in a while, but he still wants to be off with his daddy, you know, go hunting and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
Vernon takes him once in a while around in the woods, you know, hunting.
Oh,
He enjoys that very much. We're going on a hike this afternoon if it doesn't rain.
Well, I think you ought to go anyhow, and that'll make it rain.
Yeah, we've all packed a lunch in there. We're going to go on a hike back in the woods and find some different caterpillars and insects.
I bet you can find them. Yeah.
This they like to do when I enjoy going with it. Of course, it gets me behind in all my work, but I don't care about
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what it's for. Yeah. Oh, they've been holding for about 2 weeks.
Is that right? Are you selling the Huff over there? Or
this is the third week. I think he puts some on the bell down at the packing house, but I think mostly he gets trucks up there.
I see. That's something else. He's got to find somebody. If he sells them by the pound, he's got to find somebody to haul them over there for him. Well, there's a semi that'll come over and pick them up out of the field free of charge and take them over there, I guess, from what Mr. Wood said. But he'd still have to hire someone to, you know, a crew to get out there and pick the melons and load them in the trailer.
It's costly.
That's what he said.
That is costly. The costly thing about it, as I noticed, observed the others, is they can't get the melons out at the time that semi comes to pick them up. So you got a lot of waiting to do.
Oh.
And all that time, you see, you got your crew of men, you can't let them go.
Oh, I don't know. I don't like crop anyway. I like my cows and plenty of pasture for them to eat. I just don't like crop for them. And that's all he's ever wanted to do is plant crops. You just got to have the market for them. You got to be able to get them to market when they're ready. And you've got to hire so much help to pick them. The price of labor would eat you up. So I can't see where he thinks it'd be so profitable.
And if there's any
chance in the weather, you got to
everything. You know, you got to hold the bag.
And in pasture, there's nothing there. I mean, once you get it planted and just keep it fertilized. And
that's right.
Just turn the cows in there. Let them get fat on it.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way for him.
And you all been doing mighty well on your hay.
Yeah. He did excellent on his hay. And he plans to put the same amount, maybe a little more. And if we can get this planted in Pangola, if I can talk him into it. Help me talk him into it if you come over. If I get persuaded in putting this in Pangola out here, the two of us together planting when we can, we can get it fixed up, I think. By this time next year, it ought to be doing pretty well.
Well, I think I kind of see things kind of way you do, Shelley. Yeah, this was awfully...
I cried. I was so disappointed when he wanted to do it, though I could see there was no talking him out of it. You might as well go ahead with it. Now I think he's fed up with it.
Yeah.
He's discouraged in the last few days anyway. But now if he makes good at this, he'll be in it for it again next year. I kind of hope he doesn't take a loss. Then you can't tell, he may make good at it, and the next year he wouldn't lose his shirt. If he could make well at it this year and let it go for maybe 5 or 6 years, he might try it again. He went and sold those cows there when he wasn't supposed to have this the past fall. During the winter time when they were selling for nothing at all.
Yeah.
And right now, the same ones he could have sold would be dropping calves right now. And they weren't the same ones that he did sell. They just had calves right now.
Well, it's...
Remember that black bull we had out here?
Yes.
He ran Charles Berman. He just gave him an awful throw.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and we raised that thing from a calf. He was just as gentle as a puppy dog.
He did.
And Berman turned his back on him one day, and he liked to kill Berman. And he charged him 3 different times. He thought, well, maybe it was just a mistake. You know, he might have just been butting him or something extra hard. But he really did Berman damage there for a while. He couldn't hardly walk. And the following day, he went out there to feed him again, put his feet down in front of him, and he charged him again.
He just couldn't
believe
it.
And he met it that time. And he charged him 3 different times before we had to haul off and take him to market. The kids coming up the laneway, he'd see them from the pen there, and he'd paw that ground, and he'd want to get out there and face them kids.
Yeah.
And I was scared to death.
Now, they didn't bother
him. No, they never had bothered him. Never had been even around him.
Well, what in the world got around?
I don't know. I can't understand. Unless Angus are that way. That was the first Angus we'd ever tried to.
Well, now the mixed Angus are that way, they tell me.
This one was just about a purebred, I think.
Yeah.
Close, very close to it. The daddy was a huge Angus that Mrs. Gleason had over there on her field. Now, he was mean.
Yeah.
Daddy was mean.
Yeah.
Lordy, was that a mean boy. And she sold him. He was huge, too. She sold him at market. But Vern went over to help load him up. Vern and I both went over. And if I ever saw a mean bull, that was him.
Yeah.
So it might be that he had that mean streak in him, but he was very gentle from the time we had him. It's just a little tiny thing.
That's too much for me.
No, we have three or four different cows. We sold three of them, and the only one we have bred now by him is that light-colored Guernsey, and she should drop her calf next month. This time next month, and I'm just anxious to see what her calf will turn out to be. But I don't want to mess with any more Anguses there like that. We wanted to keep them, you know, for breeding the heifers the first time.
Uh-huh.
You know, like the vet to suggest.
Not with old new heifers first.
So how are the calves? Do they look rough? I'd like to see them. No, he figured that they would. He'd probably produce two stocky calves. You know,
yeah.
Like the first one we had. That first one we had. He was all shoulders and. Now this one out here, his calves seem to be quite a bit smaller. I never have liked this bull from the day we got him. I was against him then, but Berman thought that was the only bull on the earth, so he had to go and buy him. But I haven't liked him, and I haven't liked his calves. His calves are a little old runny thing.
Yeah.
But
you know what would be the best thing for me?
It's got to be quite a game with Berman and I, with the calves up to a year old. I can just about guess within $3 how much they're going to bring at market, according to how they're selling the week before.
Uh-huh.
If it's the same, running about the same thing, I can just about guess within $2 or $3 how much they're going to bring.
Yeah.
And he says he don't know how I can do it, but I do. I just happen to hit it lucky, I guess. I don't know how much. But according to their age, going by their age and what they look like, you know, and if there's several here, I can just about guess what they're gonna, which one will bring, you know, what price. But now a cow, I can't do that.
Yeah.
After they get to be about 15, 18 months old, I can't. It seems like I can't guess at the price very well. I always either get way more for them, or I always seem to get way far more than what they bring to market.
Uh-huh.
But maybe I overjudge their weight or something. No, but the last one, he took one. You know, one of those calves that we bought from you brought $80 at market at 2 years of age.
Huh.
That made me sick. Brought $80. And she should have brought way more than that.
You know, I don't go to market anymore. Everything I sell is right there in the pasture.
That's the only way.
Hell, a lot of people think.
Oh, we get a good price, and that is for bull calves. Bull calves are the only thing that we can sell there that really bring a good price. They bring better than what you would buy and sell them for in the field.
Yeah.
But and heifers up to about a year of age, but you don't want to sell heifers at that age.
No.
And bulls, maybe so, if you've got plenty of them, but not heifers. And it seems like they bring more per pound under a year of age at the market than they do any other time.
Learning a little.
Takes a lot of money to put hormones on the market.
Oh, it must.
I got a damn wheel there. Going bad.
On that new machine?
One. Put a new set of pinions there.
Now,
this shaft thing here is going bad too. One fitting rod or something. I gotta get a new.
Is that wearing it down there?
No, it's
cutting it.
It's slanted enough over there where it'd run another one if I put it in there. See how it slopes. Get that far where you can see it.
Let me get my glasses where I can see a little bit. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's right, smart slope. Not supposed to be a slope fest?
No. Not like that. I can't get a little bit of a
Yeah.
I think I got a cold southern weather somewhere. That might do the trick.
Just leave it.
I don't know right where they're at most of the time. I can lay my hand on them. Sometimes somebody else moves something.
Yeah, that's loose, isn't it? How about one on the other side? One on each side.
An old thick chisel, I thought. Let's see it.
Is that moving in?
I think so. Why it should be stuck on there so hard? Get in there, though.
And that's twisted it on there.
Something's happened, though.
You'll feel it. Always had a few in the garden. They last longer that way than they do in the field, I think.
Yeah.
So many of them involved in it, I don't suppose they let it straighten out, will they?
Yeah. They're going to start that thing a bust, aren't they? But you have been over there. You don't remember Uncle Buddy.
Buddy.
You know, he's the one that lived over there, the old man. Uncle Buddy Harrison, colored man.
Is that the one his wife died? 5 weeks of the Harrison.
I don't know.
Died.
I don't know.
And I can't figure out who she was.
Well, he died.
That was her name.
He died back around 1940.
Oh, no. And her husband's still living.
Uh-huh.
It was just her and her husband. And her name was what did they call her?
What?
That woman that worked for Woods.
I don't know who that woman was. I can't either.
But her name was Harrison when you said that.
Harris.
Uh-huh.
Will lived over there
for 4 or 5 years. He's been living over there. But there was somebody else over there when Will was over there. But he died. I can't think of it. But he wasn't as old as Will.
Uh-huh.
There was a couple of them. And then he died, and Will stayed on over there by himself.
Uh-huh.
And he had a couple of heart attacks. He was laying in the bed over there. They said he couldn't get out or nothing. So Amy and then went up there and got him.
Uh-huh.
think now, who else? And then I heard them out there talking about Mabel and them, saying something about old Ben's daughter, Edna, I believe they called her.
Mm-hmm.
They said that, I think Mrs. Brasher said there was 6 acres over there with that house. I remember right.
Uh-huh.
But they can't get it straightened out. They can't find all the heirs and all the... It's in such a mess that nobody's ever been able to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Old Mr. Ferguson said a long time ago he liked to get it if he could, but he said there wasn't no way in the world they could find anything.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many of them, they didn't even know where half of them were at.
Yeah.
See, it was left as a homestead to one of them old colored people. It was a homestead for them.
So they died,
but of course, where it was, been dead and gone a long time now. But that's where old Ben's daughter come in as an heir. But who she married or what, but they said they can't find half of the family.
Yeah.
Don't know whether some of them are still living or not. But I know they tried it because Mr. Ferguson would like to have it.
Well,
they cleaned out the 6 acres there, and right when he was buying that place, you know, he'd like to have it. He got it all at one time. I'll pull that over here at Naval Base. In the last couple of years, they've been letting the colored people move in. When you move in, of course, you might be right next door to a colored person. That's all right. As I said, every summer, about time school found out, it'd be about 2 weeks or so, there'd be about 50 colored people in there. Said all their nieces, nephews, uncles, and so now, the Navy said they got the bad wives places just swarming with them, and they only have 2 bedrooms. And they said, God, some of them places had 25 and 30 colored people, all little kids, you know, and they bring them there and leave them all summer.
Mm-hmm.
So they put a band on it now. They have to, when they go in the gate, they got to go down to the office there and register everyone that lives in that house. And if they stay overnight, they've got to make out a pass, and if they stay more than one night, well, they got to go back up that office every day and register, and they won't let none of them stay over a week at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Said they had to do something. Said, why, they just came in there and called them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they take advantage of it. I mean, they know better, too, but they say, well, they don't know any better. That's a lot of foolishness. They know better.
Yeah, they got
to. That's just their way of life, and that's the way they're made up, and that's the way they do.
They got a system.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. School hadn't been out 2 days.
Yeah.
They were all piling in there.
Yeah.
Last summer it was the same thing.
Yeah.
And she's been something going on all the time. So she's moving back to town. So she just can't.
There you are.
That you could depend on, but good place. The house is gone bad, so bad, and all now. It has, yeah. They've had a lot of trouble over there. Somebody went over there and shot the windows all out. Oh, shot the place full of holes. Yeah. Places, I guess, about gone down. I haven't been over there just lately, but the last time I'd seen it, it was in bad shape because nobody took care of it. Wasn't no windows in it the last time I was over there, and Will Brown was with him there. There wasn't a window in the place.
Oh, really?
He said, just laying up there on the bed, and the flies just swarming.
Yeah.
But there is 6 acres, is the way I understood it. 6 acres of land, and it's too bad. Somebody'd make somebody a good home. But
uh-huh.
I don't know. I was up the house, and the mosquitoes are carrying them off. You know, there's one.
Now, you know, even a sick person.
Yeah.
Could get up and get some screen and put on a door.
You know they could afford that. They have no rent to pay or anything. Now you know that they could, taxes they're paying isn't going to break them.
No,
I don't.